Chicago, on location in sunny Palm Springs, California. I am here with my dear friend, I'm proud to say he's my friend, Lou DeGrotto, who over this weekend just received the 264th star on the Palm Springs Walk of Fame. Congratulations, Lou.
Thank you very much.
Lou has been in many TV shows, done much stage work, one of the best dancers you will ever see in your life, and started as an ice skater. Started his career as an ice skater.
Uh-huh.
And actually, Lou is from Chicago, Illinois.
Correct.
When were you born, Lou?
Where or when?
Let's start with when.
In June of 1929.
And you were born in the city?
I was born on the south side of Chicago, correct.
Wow. And where did you go to school?
I went to school, I lived in a very ethnic Jewish neighborhood. I went to school in Chicago on the west side, lived west, grew up west, finalized my living in Chicago on the north side, Rogers Park.
I know, a Rogers Park boy.
Yeah, right.
And what got you interested in dancing?
Beg pardon?
What got you interested in dancing?
Oh, well, movies. That was my release of from the humdrum life of having no money, and it was kind of an escape, as they said. I was a depression baby, so when I finally was starting to grow up, those were the times where we still didn't have enough money. My father had a job, and we had food on the table, but it wasn't the kind of money that he was making that could afford things like dance lessons and things like that. So consequently, going to the movies and seeing musicals that they used to do them, that was like an escape from realism. And consequently, I got very interested in it. And along with that, I got interested in the skating field because of the wonderful movies they made with Sonja Henie.
Well, and was she one of your inspirations?
She certainly was. Today,
thank you. You guys have a great day.
Her skating ability wouldn't even qualify for Olympics. However, there's never been anybody to win three Olympics consecutively yet.
Mm-hmm.
But she was my inspiration, correct.
Now, did you take ice skating lessons before dancing lessons?
Well, yes. That's an interesting point because I didn't have the
money. I'm an interesting interviewer.
We didn't have the money because we didn't have the money. So I used to go skating at the Chicago Arena, which is, I think now it's a post office or something. And it was like an evening session, and they always had a rope across the far end of the rink to where the kids were training with, you know, professional teachers. I couldn't afford it, so I'd stay close to that area, watch what they were doing, and watch what the teachers were telling them to do, how to prepare for a jump or a spin, and I'd copy it and fall on my rear end. But I did it enough times until I finally started the concert. And as soon as I started the concert, I started auditioning for shows. And as I auditioned for shows, I kept falling. I had so many problems with keeping upright because I was always so nervous about wanting so badly to get into the show. And the last time I auditioned was when Sonja Henie, am I talking too much?
No.
Came to town, and they were in need of a male skater. And so they auditioned me. It was in the middle of the road tour. And at that point, I thought, this is the last time I'm going to audition. After auditioning for the Ice Follies and the Ice Capades for so many years, I gave up. I thought, this is it, last time. I went there completely confident, didn't give a damn, and I got it. And so here I was skating in the show alongside the woman that I admired so much in my early life.
And how long did you do that?
I did it for a few seasons until I was drafted into the Army. And that experience afforded me a nice niche in the Army for special services, entertaining, and finally choreographing Army shows. And the last part of my stint in the Army.
Where were you stationed?
In Fort Hood, Texas.
In Texas.
This is something you might not have known. I also was a DJ for my last 3 months.
Wow.
At the Army Hospital.
Wow. And you choreograph shows for the Army.
Yes, right? Correct.
And what was that experience like?
It was very interesting because we had to advertise in the camp newspaper for people to come to the audition. We were creating a musical that was an original. You know, some of the people on the camp post were also musicians, and they wrote music. So we had a lot of original music along with some familiar music, so it kind of gave a nice balance. People came to see the show, they'd see some original music, here's some original music, and here's some old music that they were familiar with.
Was it hard to get the male soldiers to audition for the shows?
It was hard to get anybody to come to the shows because there wasn't a lot of people interested in theatrical at the time. I should say, there wasn't in the Army post, that, you know, there was the soldiers that didn't.
Right.
But, so you always had the same people coming in on the audition. And most of the time they had two left feet, but they wanted to dance, they wanted to sing, they wanted to act. So we needed those people that wanted to do that.
And you were in the Army for 2 years?
2 years, correct.
And what did you do after the Army?
I went back to skate with the same show, but at that time they had changed. Sonya Henny went off on her own, and the producer, Arthur M. Wirtz from Chicago, employed Barbara Ann Scott, who was the first Olympic champion after the war, 1948. And so I toured with her for, I think it was two seasons. And then I figured I might take advantage of the GI Bill because, you know, some days you can't dance or skate the rest of your life.
Correct.
So I went to cosmetology under the GI Bill.
Now, the skating show ended up on Broadway, did it not?
No, not that one. When I left that show and I went into the Army, when I came back, I toured with the show. Prior to the tour, I should have mentioned it, prior to the going back on the tour with Barbara Ann Scott, I went to New York City because I heard there was an ice show at the Roxy Theater, and it was a very big, big show. Well, I auditioned for the show, and I went to New York with $100 in my pocket, and that was it. I stayed in a real dumpy hotel, and I auditioned, and I was coming down to being broke.
Wow.
And I got the call to come in and start start rehearsing. Of course, I had to get an advance on my pay so that I could eat. But that was before I joined the Sony show, I had skated with an ice carnival, and I ran into the same problem, where I was starving because they couldn't pay me.
Wow, it's hard in New York. you need to eat.
Right.
Exactly. What was your first stage show, musical or play?
The first stage show, it was a musical, but it was all, we called it That's Broadway, and it was being done here at the Palm Springs at the College of the Desert.
Well, how did you end up in Palm Springs?
A friend of mine and I traveled together. We were partners for 45 years, and he passed away. May of 1999, we decided we hated the cold in Chicago, or cold, period, no matter where. So we decided to move to the warmer climate. And it was a choice of either Florida, which we liked, or California, where we figured there was more opportunity. It was almost the day we got in the car, we didn't know which way we were going. We got on Route 66.
Yep.
We headed for it. Get your kicks up. Route 66. And so that's how we wound up in California. The first place was Palm Springs. First place in this state of California was Palm Springs. Friends of ours opened their doors, didn't even know who we were, and let us stay with them until we got to my friend's parents' home in Pasadena, where we lived until we settled into our own home and got situated with, got a license, business license, and the rest is.
And did you have a hair salon here?
I had a hair hair salon in Palm Springs for 9 years. I had one in San Marino, California, outside of Pasadena, also for 9 years. That was first before moving here.
Yes. Yeah, your Palm Springs version of hairdresser to the stars, from what I used to understand.
We had a lot of celebrities, Eleanor Parker, Ellis Faye, Lana Turner. Hard to pull them all. I did Peggy Fleming's hair for a skating event in Palm Desert. And, Ruta Lee.
Yes,
I forget my Ruta Lee, my dearest friend. And
you did Annie Get Your Gun with Ruta Lee.
I did Annie Get Your Gun with Ruta Lee, and I did Hello Dolly with Ruta Lee.
And how long did those shows run? Were they in Palm Springs?
They were both in Palm Springs, right, at the McComb Pit.
Right. And you also worked for the Civic Light Opera?
I worked at Seattle Civic Light Opera, where I also did Hello Dolly there, but with a local personality playing part of Dolly.
Right. And probably one of your biggest claims to fame was working with the lovely and talented Martha Ray.
Yes, that was a delight. I auditioned for that commercial, and I'll try not to make this lengthy, but I walked into the audition room and saw all these older men, and I went, oh, for crying out.
And this was for the Polydent commercial that everybody knows.
Yeah, and it was for a smoker's Polydent. I just happened to know from a neighbor how to work a pipe. Now they chew them or tap their chin or something, and I went, they liked it, and I got the call, and they said, you have the commercial with Martha Ray, and they said, how is your hands? I said, what is this for? I thought it was for a hand commercial. They said they want to see your hands because you'll be dipping the Polydent, denture into the Polydent solution. And I said, well, I didn't want to go in and have them see my hands. I didn't want to drive 120 miles. I said, well, they're kind of gnarly. He said, it's fine, you got the job. And I said, what? He said, yes, you got. I said, what about, do I get paid for being a hand model? He said, yeah, you just deal with them. So I did.
How was Martha Ray to work with?
She was wonderful, but she was already starting to fail. She was getting sick. And I have to claim the fame that I was the last man they used on a commercial.
Wow. Wow. And then you spent the last year doing the Palm Springs Follies.
Yeah, that was a plus in my life, because when I thought I was going to be totally retired, but not physically, they auditioned for the show. It was my second time auditioning. The first time, they didn't need any men because they only used 6 men.
Well, tell our listeners about the Palm Springs Follies, what it's about, and
the auditions. The rehearsal schedule is pretty intense. It's about 2.5 months rehearsal. And in between all of the rehearsing, you have fittings. They flew me to Vegas for fittings. They flew me up and back. And the final part of all the costuming is done here in Palm Springs. But the experience of the rehearsal is intense. When you're done, you open that day, you don't have to think about what you're doing. You've done it so many times, you know what to do.
Well, and we should say, these are all performers who are...
These are all people who work in the Latin Quarter, the Copacabana, Chez Paris, Chicago, on Broadway, off Broadway, people who took leads in productions. Like, we had one man, Dick France, who became the lead for, what's his name, Lang? Bell Joey? Harold,
yes.
Lang? No, Harold, no. I caught you off guard.
Yes, you did.
Anyway, Lang.
That's okay.
Yes, Lang. Anyway, he took the lead for him. And several of them, well, one of them was Juliet Prowse's husband and dance partner. And so it was quite an experience. I was in good company, and I sometimes felt a little intimidated because I hadn't been where they had been. But.
And tell us about some of the guest stars that the Follies had, because they had guest MCs.
The guest stars sometimes were, they had Kay Ballard, they had Anna Marie Albertetti, they had Donald Crowder a couple times. One time he got sick, and Howard Keel took over for him.
Who just passed away.
Yeah, who just passed away. And Donald passed away, I guess, about 2 years ago. They get a lot of groups, singing groups, like the Modern Airs, Paula Kelly Jr. and the Modern Airs, and one of the original Modern Airs just passed away about 3 weeks ago. And that was pretty sad, because he was a very good singer.
And you did the show for a year.
I did one full season, 9 shows a week.
And the shows are about 3 hours, three and a half hours.
3 hours and 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
3 hours and 20 minutes long, excuse me. And they're pretty intense, and you get there at, well, around 11:30 or 12:30 during the day, and you don't leave until 10:30 at night, and that's 5 days, 9 shows in 5 days. Some days you have two, most of the days you have 2 shows.
So that crimps your social life a little bit.
It crimps it a lot.
Yes. Because there was talk of the show going to Florida, played in Florida for a little bit.
No, that was a rumor.
And it never opened?
That one that opened in Florida was a copy of this one.
Okay.
It was very good, by the way. But there were some problems with advertising, so they pulled it after 2 seasons. I got the call to work on that one. I also got the call to work on the one in Branson, Missouri. But I don't want to go to Missouri. I don't want to go to Branson. I don't want to go where there's no excitement other than doing the show.
So correct. There's no life. There's no life outside of the theater in Branson.
That was it. You go there, you do the show, you go home. And then they have to provide you with transportation. It's like a bus group. You know, they bus you to hotel, to the theater. Theater, the hotel. So.
And tell us about some of the TV shows you worked on. I know you did Frasier. You've done a couple episodes of Frasier.
I worked on Seinfeld many times. I worked on Frasier a lot because they did a lot of upscale. And I usually got chosen for primarily upscale look, tuxedo calls, car calls if they did a location shot, and or dance spots. All the ballroom dance spots I always got called. In this day and age, there's not a lot of people that still know how to ballroom dance.
That's right.
Especially.
Well, look at the comeback ballroom dancing is making now with it, Dancing with the Stars. And
did you know that they're doing Skating with the Stars?
I just saw that. So,
wow.
Yes. So are you going to be involved with any of that?
I get a call, maybe so. But
I think your agent should start working on that.
Well, somebody else said that, but I don't know. I haven't pursued it. They haven't called me, so I don't know. I'll just wait and see what happens.
And right now you're doing a lot of work as Ricardo Montalban's lookalike.
Yeah, everybody says, how many lives have you led? I said, well, I wear every hat that I can.
Yes, well, we just met Shirley MacLaine last week, and she's led a lot of lives herself.
Very good point.
Yes.
Yeah, we do a Ricardo Montalban, Herbie Villechaize lookalike. We actually have the wardrobe from the show. It was purchased at Sony Studios, and it was fabulous because I can always show the label. It has Ricardo Montalban's name in it, and also Hervé's has his name. And they were glad to get rid of Hervé's because they can't find a little person that would buy it or fit into it. So.
And this is your own company that you started to...
That's right.
And how do our listeners get in touch with your company if they want to book you?
Or they can call me directly or him. And did you want a phone number?
Well, you know what? We'll put a link up on our website.
Okay.
And so people can contact our website and get in touch with you.
All right, that's fine.
Thank you. Well, thank you for spending some time with us, Lou.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your star. It is well deserved, and I'm proud that you are my friend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.